are re kisi ngon de jamdro jamdro che de ne jamdro ke lap cha la lap su chi ma shi she shi sa re sa da de ma le de la yi chi be de ba ji ho re de ba chang ho re sa da on di ko ma she le ne ko de tu ma she re.
Good evening. So previously we completed looking at the presentation on protecting refuge, how to generate this mind of protecting refuge within. So now we come to a new outline, that on karma and its effects. And there's the fact that it states quite explicitly, generating faith of conviction in actions and their effects. So in the published book, we're on page 119. And just to say, because there aren't handouts available anymore, but the published book is available in the shop. So I think there are five copies if you want to get tomorrow. So stop, we're reading from the text. This has 3 points. Contemplating karma and its effects in general is the first. The second, contemplating karma and its effects in particular. And thirdly, having contemplated karma and its effects, how to engage in virtue and desist from non-virtue. So the first of those, contemplating karma and its effects in general, this has itself 2 sub-outlines. The actual way to contemplate karma and its effects in general, and then secondly, contemplating the specific categories. And then of those 2, so looking at contemplating karma and its effects in general, which was the first outline of the actual way to contemplate karma and its effects in general, now we see this as 4 points. Karma is certain. Karma greatly increases. Thirdly, you do not meet with karma you have not created. And fourthly, karma you have created does not dissipate. Generally, when you think about karma, karma has three types, three divisions, virtuous, non-virtuous, and neutral. But as we see here, the presentation is specifically about virtuous and non-virtuous karma. Cause and effect. So this is, we can see this title here, so karma and its effects, the title of the chapter. So you also often hear that it expresses causes and effects, or causes and their results. Here, what's important is to be very clear that a result necessarily comes from a cause. Therefore, every thing that, every impermanent phenomenon, every functioning thing, this has necessarily come about independent on causes. Such things cannot exist without prior causes. And where this is of particular importance is in terms of happiness and suffering. Happiness is a result. It's come from causes. Suffering too is a result, and it's come from causes. The causes that lead to happiness are called virtues. So I mentioned a moment ago that cause and effect are presented in three types: virtuous, non-virtuous, and neutral. So virtuous, so the causes that lead to happiness are called virtuous. The causes that lead to suffering are called non-virtuous. And the chapter here specifically focuses on these two, virtuous and non-virtuous causes. Why? Because we all want happiness. No one wants to suffer. No one wants to experience even the slightest discomfort. Recognizing this, that we want to only experience one type of result, happiness, and we never want to experience another type of result, suffering, we then come to this topic that identifies the causes that we need to accumulate because they will lead to the desired results. In other words, virtuous causes. And the kinds of causes we need to avoid, because if we accumulate them, they will lead to undesired results, namely suffering. So the purpose of this chapter, going to the very first outline on this page, is to generate faith of conviction in actions and their effects. So by studying this, coming to gain certainty in this presentation, one will have faith, the faith of conviction in karma, or action and its effects. First outline we look at in detail, that is, karma is certain. The way, the certainty that one needs to come to is to recognize that happiness is a result that necessarily follows from virtuous causes. Likewise, non-virtuous causes necessarily lead to the result of suffering. So what one needs to come to gain, just to repeat that, gain certainty in terms of the presentation on karma, is that the causes, the set of causes that are virtuous, necessarily or are certain to lead to happiness. And the set of causes that are non-virtuous, necessarily or are certain to lead to suffering.
Papa gang yin yang, tsuwa simbi namba jengye dewa, tana semje nyalwa jewa na, hini lung silwa langba la dine, jewa yanche tamje ni wan kiwi le saba le jungi yi. Hini mi kiwi le le dewa chungwa ni ne me la as.
Reading from the text. The outline, karma is certain. All happiness that is a type of pleasant feeling, whether in ordinary beings or Aryas, comes from virtuous karma accumulated previously. This includes even pleasures as small as the pleasure in the sense of being born in hell when a cool breeze springs up. There is no way for happiness to arise from non-virtuous karma.
Adela, na soso kiwa dang si de soso kiwa dang ha jige lam la ma ju bi ha zu da soso kiwa ma ha zu da de lam la ju bi na pa pa mai me soso kiwa ne kan de shin na de le ya cho wa de wa ru chi cho wa sin ba sen cho wa de wa de wi kan de chu wi ne ya na chi cha da ne ke wa le tin yung gore es ke wa le le tin yung gore es sna dang an ju mi mi ro wi jina ma zu ta da mi won de ji won de ko wa to ba de ya ne won de ko wa to ba de ya
Saying the first sentence there, all happiness is the type of pleasant feeling within ordinary beings or Aryas. The ordinary beings refer to beings such as ourselves, who are yet to cultivate a mental path within, as well as those who've achieved an ordinary path, so not yet at the parts of the Arya beings, but the parts of ordinary beings. So for all such ordinary beings, as well as Aryas, all happiness comes from virtuous karma. This is in the case of the realm in which one is born. For example, in the high realms as a human or as a god, such a rebirth comes about independence from virtuous karma. Likewise, every experience within any of the realms, whether an experience of physical happiness or mental happiness, Sorry, I said all of that without the microphone on. I'll repeat it again. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry, Andy, that was me. Andy came to switch me on. So as we can see in the first sentence, all happiness, that is a type of pleasant feeling, whether in ordinary beings or Aryas. So ordinary beings are beings such as ourselves, who are yet to cultivate or achieve a path, a mental path, as well as those who have achieved one of the ordinary paths, the common paths. So these are ordinary beings, and Aryas are those who have achieved the Arya paths. So whether an ordinary or Arya being, every experience of happiness comes from virtuous karma accumulated previously. This then needs to be understood clearly. All happiness comes from virtuous karma, such as, for example, the realm in which one is born. If one is born in one of the happy migrations or the higher realms as a human or god, this comes from virtuous karma. Likewise, in any of the realms, every experience of happiness comes, whether physical happiness or mental happiness, necessarily comes from previously accumulated virtuous karma. Just first to say, as the translator, in this entire section, when you see the word action, that is the English translation of the word karma. So the translator will have translated sometimes as action and other times as karma. So what the outline at the very top could have been action and its effects. So this comes out throughout. You'll see the word action. It is the word for karma. Now, what Geshe has just said, again to emphasize, all happiness comes from karma. A virtuous karma. So this is also the case for Arya beings, as this first sentence says. So, and this is for all types of Arya beings, whether they are of the hero lineage or the solitary realizer lineage or the bodhisattva lineage. All happiness they experience, including the attainment of the state of being an Arya being, has come about in dependence on virtuous karma.
Then it says, and then ね、他那是对的，就是他那是被解决那的，本地的地基出售了，什么那么那是，他那，甚至你要话解吧，那龙水瓦浪巴拉地呢，哎，解吧是的，龙地呢解吧是的，他搞起瓦是的，本来尿巴地里呢，本来产业路去呢，产业被草瓦修多啊，尿地被人家搞不了，龙路都是的呢，嗯，搞了绿了破了的，现在也都是新的了，就地瓦都是的，你修都是用过的。
電力給電話ニョヤディア、チュンチュン電力ディアイナ、デスイネアネ、レラディネキゴレス、ケウレラディネキゴレス。ニャワンジャバナ、ルンセワランバラディネ、ジャバセル、ディギルケディア、ツォディワチュンセキバディ、ディアネ、ケウレラディネキゴレ、ディエンチェスディ、ディエンチェディネギヤンジェ、ダディネヤギワチュンシュディジェ、ディギチュンシュディジワダ、ディネヤジブタディワチェジェヤ、
The text says, this includes even pleasures as small as the pleasure in a sentient being born in hell when a cool breeze springs up. So maybe you could insert a word. This includes from the smallest pleasure upwards, and the small illustration of the slightest type of pleasant feeling would be a being who's suffering in the blazing heat of the hot hills. When they should they experience just a slight cooling breeze. That pleasant feeling that arises whilst they are in the suffering of the hot hells, that has come from previously accumulated virtuous karma. So from that illustration of the slight, a very slight type of pleasant feeling, right upwards, this all happiness comes from previously accumulated virtuous karma.
In the end, that Gewa Chichung Ganeshine, Liku, and Echigi, Gewe Lele, in the Juamado, and the Migiwe Lele, Dewa Chun, and Nimi, Migiwe Lele, Dine, and Gujabar Dele Jebu, and the Dewa said, Juan, the Chichung Ganaya, your Maris, or Nimi, Zaw, you need Gewa, your Maris.
This is also the case for all not suffering feelings. This too comes from not a previously accumulated non-virtue.
Migiwe lele dewa chungwe ni chungwa ni ni ne la. Yes, sir. Ah. Na di ni ne kewa di dewa di chie. Dewa di ye kewe lele tu ni chungwa nge ba re ye se di ndu si ni shu sa re. Na di ni migiwe dunga di ye ane chi ge ta migiwe lele di chungwa re sa di ni sungwa re. Je san chowa duwe namba chen di. Dunga tana, jajumi gula jeva, yanche, tamje un migiwege, migiwa sabole jungi, giwe lele, dunga jungwa ni, ne medes.
So, in the previous segment, I got a bit wrong. What Geshe said was that there's no way, it's what we have here in the text, there's no way for happiness to arise from non-virtuous karma. Now, rereading the rest of the point, all suffering that is a type of painful feeling comes from non-virtuous karma accumulated previously. This includes even pains as small as the pain in the mind of an arhat. There's no way for suffering to arise from virtuous karma.
That's what we're doing, number 10. Number 10. ちょっと、だから、ちょっと、
All suffering that one experiences, that suffering as a type of painful feeling, no matter how slight or vicious it is the result of previously accumulated non-virtuous karma. So again, every experience of suffering, that is a result that's come from causes, and those causes necessarily are non-virtuous causes. This includes even pains as small as the pain in the mind of an arhat. So this, as we saw in the previous segment about the slight, when an illustration was given of the slightest form of happiness, this is now an illustration given of the slightest form of suffering, which is experienced by a foe destroyer or an arhat, that whilst an arhat has abandoned the afflictions completely, the afflictions together with their seeds, they can still experience slight suffering. This too, this experience of slight suffering, is a karmic result. So therefore, from that slightest form of suffering that can be experienced, right up to the most intense suffering in the lower realms and everything in between, this comes about independent on non-virtuous karma. Non-virtuous karma is the cause leading to that result of suffering. Then Lama Tsongkhapa concludes with, there is no way for suffering to arise from virtuous karma. So again, this is the certainty within this presentation. Karma is certain that from suffering cannot come from virtuous karma, but only non-virtuous karma. Lama Tsongkhapa quotes Nagarjuna's precious garland. From nowhere comes all suffering, and likewise, sorry, from non-virtue comes all suffering, and likewise every lower rebirth. From virtue comes every fortunate rebirth and the happiness in all rebirths. So looking at the first two lines, but maybe start with the second and then go to the first. So every rebirth in the lower realms necessarily comes from a non-virtuous karma. Non-virtuous karma being the cause that propels a rebirth in the lower realms. And then for the first line, every experience of suffering, not just those in the lower realms, but in any realm, comes from previously accumulated non-virtue. So the experience or the result is the experience of suffering. The cause is non-virtuous karma.
Mm-hmm.
So too, in terms of virtuous karma, so the third and fourth line, the result that is rebirth in a fortunate realm is a virtuous karma. And every experience of happiness in any realm is the result of previously accumulated virtuous karma. And so too is all one's spiritual development, from developing various qualities, as well as the attainment of parts, and the attainment of Arya parts, and the liberation from suffering. All of this comes about independent on causes, and those causes will be virtuous karma. So what we've seen thus far in this first of the 4 points, that this point that karma is definite or karma is certain, that every experience that we have, whether pleasant or unpleasant, this is a result that has come from causes. So if we experience a pleasant feeling or a feeling of happiness, this has come from virtue. And if we experience an unpleasant sensation or feeling, this has come from non-virtue. And this is regardless of whether the pleasure or displeasure is slight or intense. It comes from its respective causes. So it is definite that virtue will lead to happiness and non-virtue will lead to suffering. This is definite. So this needs to be understood and fully embraced so that we can recognize that all the happiness that we desire is a result that comes about from causes, and those causes necessarily are virtuous. And all the suffering that we have ever experienced and we hope to avoid comes about independent of non-virtue. If we gain certainty of this, that will give us a strength of mind to turn away from non-virtue and to embrace virtue. So in many instances, this is quite easy for us to do. We have virtuous tendencies, but we also still have non-virtuous tendencies. So we therefore need this strength of conviction so that we can turn away from our habitual patterns that that are non-virtuous. And this is aided by the reflection that understands that whatever virtue that I accumulate from this moment forth will lead to happiness in the future, will lead to whatever desired outcomes one has. But so too any non-virtue that I accumulate, this will impede my attainment of happiness and will lead to the states of suffering. So this understanding we need to gain, develop, so that we develop a definite faith of conviction, which will serve to enable us to abandon the accumulation of non-virtue and embrace the accumulation of virtue. And this then builds on our understanding of this precious human rebirth, that we want to live a life of great meaning, take its very essence. So to do that comes down to accumulating causes for happiness. As we saw presented, that every experience of happiness from slight to intense, every experience of suffering from the slightest to the most intense, comes about from their respective causes. And we saw in terms of the slightest form of suffering, this can be experienced by arats, by photostroids. So here's I can give an illustration of an arat called in Tibetan Gurchung. It's a translator, I don't know the Sanskrit for this, but his name was Gurchung. And despite being an arat, he's abandoned the afflictions together with their seeds, he still was experiencing the ripening effects of previously accumulated non-virtue. And the way he experienced this was that he couldn't find food. So he was hungry and he was experiencing a suffering of hunger. So in his desperation to have something to eat, he ate dust. And that dust, though, it caused his illness to arise and he died. So the cause of his untimely death was a non-virtuous karma that led to his suffering and then his death. This story serves to illustrate that an arahat, a great being, a being who has abandoned the afflictions together with his seeds, can still suffer. And the reason for suffering is the same as for us, non-virtue. Non-virtuous karma leads to every single instance of suffering, and it only can lead to suffering. This was also the case with the two primary students of Buddha Shakyamuni, amongst the Jewish Shakyamuni and Mogdilyana. Mogdilyana also suffered despite being an arahat. The students of Buddha Shakyamuni Mogdilyana, he had miraculous powers, which enabled him, amongst other things, to travel to realms of unseen beings. So on one journey into the hells, he met a religious teacher who had been reborn in hell. And this religious teacher said to Mogdilyana, "Please, when you return to the human realm, warn my students. Tell them you have met me here and I have sent this message that my teachings were mistaken. And the result of, if they follow my teachings, they will end up in a rebirth such as this." And so his teachings may well have been that he that of making animal sacrifices as a way to gather virtue. So this is definitely non-virtuous, but due to his wrong view, he taught that this was a virtuous act to do, but it certainly was not. So he pleaded with Mogdilyana, "Please return to my students. Tell them you have met me. Tell them where you've met me, and warn them that give them this message from me." Not to follow the teachings I gave them.
Dine du sine tang du dine mongal bo ya peje ane konzu ki korong ki loma di gel ya au korong ti ki dumba lama di ane mani ma ye was ye du shas ane korong ki disu slagu du chesa de korong shi bi chue de no ru re shi chesa chi ma chesa di chue de ma jes ma le len ko so dine lagu du sin pa korong loma di lagu re song du wa de.
Mogdilyana, seeing the benefits of this warning, returned, found this religious teacher's students and warned them, said, I met your teacher in the hell realms and he has this message for you. But the response he got was perhaps somewhat unexpected in that the students were furious. How could you deprecate our dearly beloved, dearly departed spiritual teacher who come here and tell us that he is in hell and that we shouldn't follow his teachings? And they were enraged. Mogdaliana had a well-earned reputation for these incomparable powers. And so these furious students demanded, so who do you think you are telling us this? If you are who you claim to be, prove it. We've heard of these great powers you have. Show us. But in this moment, due to the power of his past non-virtuous karma, Mogdaliana could not think of a single, incantation to generate his miraculous powers. He couldn't think of any way to do so. They completely slipped his mind. Believing the students then of this deceased religious teacher, believing that they were being deceived, already in an enraged state, they beat Mogdaliana, beat him near the point of death, causing him tremendous pain and suffering. And later, when he recounted the story of what happened, in response to his fellow monks inquiring as to, well, why didn't you just use your magical powers and get out of there? He said, nothing came to mind. Nothing to protect myself came to mind. And I couldn't protect myself from this beating at all. So therefore, even arhats or foe destroyers, these great beings who have abandoned affliction together with their seeds, they can still suffer, such as we've seen here, physical suffering of either due to hunger or physical beatings, or physical pain in that way, due to previously accumulated non-virtuous karma. So this is the case even for arhats. So another illustration is the great being Nagarjuna. He was once requested to sever his head as an offering. To, he was asked to give his head. He was able to actually fulfill this request because he identified in a distant past life he had killed an ant by severing its head, and that this particular non-virtuous karma had not been purified. So therefore, with a blade of just grass, he severed his head and made that requested offering. So this is in the case for Arya Bodhisattvas. They can give their limbs without experiencing suffering. But for those who are hearers and solitary realizers, who are adults of the hero and solitary realizer lineage, their physical aggregate is from contaminated causes. Therefore, they can still suffer in these ways or experience suffering in these ways.
So
the published text doesn't include the sub-outlines. So the sub-outline we just looked at is the actual way karma is certain. And now we come to the second sub-outline, explanation for this being the basis of all virtuous phenomena. Now reading from the text. And just in the middle, I've just added a couple of words. Therefore, happiness and suffering do not arise without cause or from an incongruous cause, such as the fundamental nature or Ishvara. Happiness and suffering in general arise respectively from virtuous and non-virtuous karma in general. Also, the various specific instances of happiness and suffering arise individually from the various specific instances of the two types of karma without the slightest inconsistency. To gain certainty with regard to actions and their effects being certain and infallible is said to be the correct view of all Buddhists and praised as the foundation of all virtuous phenomena. Before we look at this final paragraph, just to pose a question. So we've heard here that virtuous karma, no matter how small their karmic seed, will, when it ripens, lead to happiness. And non-virtuous karma, whether the karmic seed is small or great, will lead to suffering. So then, when it's cold and we're experiencing the suffering of being cold, and we decide to do something about it, like we have tonight, we've turned on the heaters, and now that suffering of being cold has ended, and we are enjoying the warmth that has the warmth in the room, question may come. So this warmth I'm enjoying, does it really come from virtuous karma? Is it not that it's come from the heaters? Similarly, one may think, when I was hungry earlier, I ate something, and then my suffering of hunger dissipated. So the elimination of my suffering wasn't due to some karma, it was because I ate something. Likewise, when I'm thirsty and I drink something, it's not now that some karma has come about and now my suffering is gone and I'm satiated. No, it's because I drank something. So maybe then karma doesn't apply to all instances and only in certain instances.
And
And perhaps when we ate earlier, the food was just too hot and it burnt the inside of our mouth. So now our mouth is suffering. So is that suffering from non-virtuous karma? I don't know. I think maybe it came from eating food that was too hot.
Yeah, no.
That table? The experiences of happiness or suffering, they definitely, or it's certain, that they come from previously accumulated corresponding causes of virtue or non-virtue. But just like a seed being planted will not ripen without the required ripening conditions of being in suitable soil, the right amount of heat and moisture and so forth. So too, for a karmic imprint to ripen, it requires ripening conditions. So when the feeling of happiness that arises due to now being in a lovely warm room, this feeling of happiness has come from a virtuous imprint accumulated at some point in a life previous to this. So whilst we cannot specify it was such a karmic cause that is ripening right now, we can at least identify the ripening condition, which in this illustration would be that of the heater. And so too, in terms of the feeling of happiness that comes about from eating, this is the ripening of a karmic imprint accumulated in previous times. And again, we do not have the capacity to identify what that karmic imprint in particular was or necessarily was, but we can say from the presentation that it was a virtuous imprint because it is a feeling of happiness. And the ripening condition for that virtuous imprint to ripen was that meal. So in this way, for karmic imprints to ripen, various conditions are required. And in these illustrations, we see the conditions coming together, ripening, leading to the ripening of a corresponding cause. And that's it.
What is the remainder that's bringing the pain in the mind? So what is there
be a karmic seed ripening in the mind of an arhat who has destroyed all their negative karmic seeds? Correct? Okay. So they have just destroyed their karmic as seeds, but they still have a contaminated body as well as the karmic stains. And it's those karmic stains that ripen and lead to the suffering experience. So an arhat has abandoned their afflictions together with their seeds. That's the way I always express it. So here I'll just express it a little differently. The arhat has abandoned the seeds of the afflictions. They haven't abandoned the seeds of their karma. So if we think of the presentation of minds or mental factors, karma is a particular mind, that of volition, of intention. So that is one particular mental factor. The afflictions are another group of mental factors. So what the foe destroyer, the arhat, has abandoned is the afflictions, the seeds of the afflictions, but not the seeds of karma. And it's that that is ripened by having both the contaminated body and the obscurations to omissions.
So maybe an example I could think of could be like it's very difficult to develop a chitta that is arhat when it's frustrated.
So would an illustration of suffering for an arhat be this, that they want to develop bodhicitta, but it's difficult for them, so the mind gets frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
same kick, you don't think that. He didn't kick up for that. Kick up for that. Then he did give up his initial super, the control machine. Super kick here.
Did he, Mare? Then he. Changesim ke di 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 ngo di di mare. Da ga je le da de changesim ba kono de le da jun ba de ke da changesim ke wa ke sam da ba yin da ke ka ho ra cha yo ma. Ar sen kon ju ko yu dung a ta da le ning bu me ba da ji dung a cha sa dung a da dung a yu ho su su ba chen je ne kon su ge la jam ba che ma da ni ji che me ka wa che me se de kon bu su chi bu yo ba. Je sa da 인지계야 내려오래 거기다 고치고 그런 게 되어버렸지 그 된일 제발이나
so actually for them for a pro destroyer they can generate love and compassion actually and even great compassion quite easily because of their long habituation to immeasurable love and immeasurable compassion.
Tadi, macam macam betul naya, jenis sembah je bade, kalau orang korang pembi nyema pembat tangan kabla, tangan sembjang thamji ke dunia jitu sa, rani cibu macam macam betul naya, jigi dia sampai ke, dia sampai tu naya, rani cibu dunia siapa dunia ni aje, mungkin macam macam betul sa, ini dia betul naya dah, dia lekut je, tu je tangan kongbo sa orang tu, ini ramai yang dia sejak tu gula aje. Then how many told the din she did a nyambrash and horon judgment to the but they were a nyambrash and horon yamar and horon the dead, my judgment toss on tanga di due to send some down pimba di or judgment to go to or nyambrash, cope, coron digi launch and do go, they said. So then they need on it and it tell it to me, Yamna Gialia, and the summer shock who go, matter what. Disemble, Yema, Mini Lam, Tajum Matu Nila, Yema Tolam, Melam, Shubi Governor Casam Cartan, Semjan Tamjig Dunsetting in G2 Samari, Naran, and the Semi Kolu Dunga Tade Baji, and Tajum Diki, Shidi Toba G, Zito Baji, Digu Sambi, Samu Shorvata. D. Samu Shukin, D. Hora Tajum Matu Tosan, Yambrasha, the Shidi Ran Longe, Yamjas, Gunibu, then Lona Lun Yamjas, Dugore. Then, 아니 지 빠져 다시 차단 빵 차이 엄마 토자 차단 토사리 엄마래 나 결혼 아니 예 토자 사바 토약이 비준 제고로 해서 나 사이 무슨 건들래 최딩 거래 니 때네 되는 신의 건들디 리거다 대마 집에 죄냐면 제 신의 리거래
This being who's now attained the state of an arahat long before when they were setting out to achieve a path and had newly achieved a path, they were determined. They've now come to recognize, I can gain liberation from suffering. I can bring an end to suffering. I can gain freedom from these afflictions. And this arose within them in a powerful way, but in terms of, I have to achieve this. So whilst they would have had a clear recognition that they have achieved their current level of spiritual attainment, perhaps newly achieved the path of accumulation of a hero or solitary realizer. Whilst they recognize this has come about in dependence on the kindness of others, their focus was on their attainment of liberation. Their focus was not on, I recognize that I can do this and therefore so too can others. Let me help them. They have this single-pointed, to use that word in a looser way, a single-pointed determination to achieve their own liberation. So hence, when they do eventually achieve their own liberation, they then enter, they achieve that in a within a contaminated body. When they die, they then abide in meditative equipoise for a lengthy period. And when the conditions are right, the Buddhas, it's said that they awaken them and encourage them to now return and try and cultivate bodhicitta. They are reminded that they haven't yet abandoned the observations to omniscience, that there is further work to be done. But back in time, when they were either close to attaining a path or had newly attained a path, their determination was for their own individual liberation. Their thought wasn't really broader than that. It was on their own freedom from suffering.
So their body's not contaminated when they arise from the power of the Nirvana. It's not contaminated.
Then, according to what we've seen each other, according to what Jessica can be told on Dukhya Tashi Tetu, then, according to what we've seen each other, according to what we've seen each other,
Dele, Niyore, Same, Sasi, Nika, Yungore, Tada, Yendu, Jajum, Yanang, Jajum, Jibu, Top, Tarje, Kusi, Dushi, Madamaje, and it taking Tolam Yashu, and Jeruba. He solam pavia mother solan jolam chasan pumbodi sartiri. Then Yendu Dajumi devot of Denekusi Dijira, Yendu, Tame Nadis, Top Roa, Tame Nadu, Top Sarge, Dine, and then, Jesusim Jay, Solam Jolam, Maturua, Dil Luigi Samegri.
Consul,
Jasmine
Bendin, to
compromise
So both are possible. It depends whether they enter into nirvana without remainder. In other words, if they die or not. So we have a being who becomes an arhat of the hero solitary realizer type in this life, in this body. So now they are an arhat. If they then die, then they and they abide in meditative equipoise. When they are eventually awakened and encouraged to enter, to attain the bodhisattva paths, then they'll have uncontaminated aggregates. But if once they attain, they become an arhat, but before they die, should in that period the determination come to become a bodhisattva, then they'll be striving to become a bodhisattva with contaminated aggregates. So the order is whether the arhat dies or not, as to whether they will have contaminated or uncontaminated aggregates when striving for the bodhisattva path of accumulation.
So what sort of pain in the mind would they have? If it's not frustration, I can't see what pain it would be. Or would it be something like the blade of grass?
So would it only be physical suffering they could experience and not mental suffering?
Well, it says pain in the mind.
So I'm presuming it's a mental pain. Okay. But it sort of seems
curious
that then it's coming from the body. Okay. So what? So what do you mean number 10? Don't worry, Tana, that
So both types of suffering are possible for a bodhisattva that are physical, such as an arhat. Both types of suffering are possible, both physical and mental. So the illustration of Mogliana getting beaten, this would be an illustration of physical suffering. And then I'll give an illustration now of mental suffering that an arhat can experience.
Nisu Mashingba, Yanji, Nisu Hamogo, I told ya, simply, or then I sing me to simply, then I sing me to simply too much water. Mashiba, Mashibika, Ham Korongi, Mashingba, the Hakova, shimpati, then Dunga Shungo, Chita, Bene, Le Gundiago, do some dad, Gene, some dad, Hamo, Tanga Shimidu, Sembe, Sem Tachung, Dunga Chungu, Adizu, Sembe Dumari. De, Yendu Tachumbala, your chances of Papa Layor, the system of Sakiabu, the Solayor, Sachubala, you see.
So an illustration of mental suffering that an arahat can experience is the suffering that comes from not knowing something, because they haven't abandoned the obscurations to omniscience, the obscurations to knowledge. So therefore, there are things which are still unknown to them. So for example, what is the specific cause that led to this effect? And they do not know this. They are still obscured. And from this, a suffering can arise. So this is a mental suffering. And that such an illustration of mental suffering is not only experienced by hearer and solitary realizer, arahats, but also by arya bodhisattvas on the pure grounds, on the 8th, 9th, and 10th ground. They too, because they have not abandoned the obscurations to omniscience, things are unknown, there are still things unknown to them, and they therefore can experience mental suffering when due to something being unknown to them.
Gawa mong bigi ringi ni sutiki machin bada de nige. Dene ngana zuge jam mapsha yorwa bigok. Koyegi mani dhwa de liya pe zimo da mara yungu resa. Chesan di zimo re gyuri li yungu resa. Chesan di gyuri kade kade skade yungu resa di koi nyema le kade kade saba di jiri saba da le dine saba diyan sabi dusu dine chile saba re du dine chile tetan kama dine chile saba resa
Only Buddhas know all phenomena. So even the highest of ordering beings, when the ordering being is a non-Buddha, that of the 10th level bodhisattva, even for them, there are still many things compared to a Buddha which are unknown. So the famous illustration that is given is the various patterns on a peacock's feathers. These each come from causes. Even a bodhisattva on the 10th ground cannot identify the causes that led to those specific patterns on that specific peacock. So this, we'd say maybe the frustration that would arise in the mind of that bodhisattva, this is an illustration of mental suffering that even a bodhisattva would, an Arya bodhisattva would experience.
Lay,
that give le chungjung chine da de chine de je ma je mi de sam bang na yong guro wa on din ne sam ta yong give le chungjung ga de chine ma de jin yam su leng gu je wo le zi da ji ge de bu di ji de wa de yong guo le zi da give le chungjung chine da le ne ba je wa tam ji le ge wa le de ni jung wa ta che ba le dunga tam ji dunga chi ju ga ne le mi ge wa le de ni je ta che ba le san sam ba ne ne ba ni je yi shi de je je de ne han ju ge Digo Chunju Jina Zemgoris, and it gave a Chunju Jina Jokuris, Lamentauris, and that is more.
To summarize tonight, by summarizing the point of this topic, of this first outline, that karma is certain, is to for each of us to come to this clear recognition that even small non-virtue leads to suffering, and therefore we need to refrain from it. And even small virtue leads to happiness, and therefore needs to be engaged in. Because in particular, in terms of our small non-virtues, these we all too easily excuse and ignore. This we need to turn away from. It's not just the big things we need to abandon, the big non-virtuous things, but we need to abandon the subtler levels too. Why? We want to be happy. And to experience happiness, we have to accumulate those causes. And none of us want to even want to suffer. Even a slight feeling of discomfort, we want to be free of. That slight feeling of discomfort comes from non-virtue. Therefore, what we need to take away from this topic is that we need to refrain from even slight non-virtue because it still will lead to suffering.
Oh, yeah.
Then thank you. We can conclude there for tonight. Thank you.